You know, Morris Cohen's, they'll say there. It's kind of remarkable. What are the, you know, again, we're getting close. Like I said, God, the time just flies. What are the films can people look forward to seeing? And, John, give us the dates, times, where to call, how to see this film festival. This is, I can't, you know, I touted you guys on Rules of Engagement. And everyone who saw that, I heard from literally hundreds of you, and you were all thankful. You said it made you alert, it made you aware of a current, a tide, a trend going on in this country that's frightening, absolutely frightening. And I'm giving you the same feeling that I got watching this movie, Crime and Punishment, which will be part of this show. If you go there just to see this, go. But some of these movies, again, I wish I had the time. I wish I wasn't so engrossed with my beautiful wife, Laura. I know.
Join the campaign to stop police brutality. Wake Up Call and some of its loyal listeners have come up with a that everyone can participate in. If you are against police brutality and state-sponsored murders, wear a black ribbon as an act of protest. Inform your families, your neighbors, your coworkers, your church, and your school that this is being done in memory of Ahmed Diallo, Patrick Bailey, Eleanor Bumpers, Anthony Baez, Yvonne Smallwood, Kevin Cedeno, Elizabeth Mangum, Clifford Glover, Randy Evans, Nicholas Ashanti Barton, and
why is it buying and selling still going on?
It's 8:01 time. Time for a late edition of Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get my brush, but if they could, they would. So Billy Bones was the best.
Okay, because we're a minute late, we have a minute less theme to play. Special dedication to Cyber Junkie on his day of liberation. I think the authorities know. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you over on this side of the room. Isaac over there on the other far side of the studio.
Wait.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
Hang on, let me get your levels up. Now, why are we getting feedback? You know, you must have headphones facing the microphone. No, you know what? It's me. Let's try and...
That's you, sir.
Yes. Well, now, these are my headphones, though. I have to have my headphones on my head. I'm going to turn down the volume a bit. There we go. All right, I think that makes a difference. No, you know, it's still kind of weird.
I just turned mine off, so...
Yeah.
I can't even hear the feedback, so if it's there.
Okay, well, we're going to have a technically inept show tonight, as always. You know how it is. Oh, boy. Well, you know, I like your suggestion. We call it the Bulldog Edition because we're late.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's people demand us to be on time, like trains. Well, not New York trains anyway. But
well, the Long Island Railroad. Well, we won't go into
that. Yeah. It's really annoying.
The Long Island Railroad? Or
no, I guess I'll have to turn my headphone volume down a little bit, which makes me not sound so good to me, but I guess it makes me sound a little better to others. So we'll try that. Okay. I can barely hear myself now, and that means I can barely hear you, because I can't see you. You're over behind all the equipment there.
Wave.
Well, yeah. A virtual wave, because I can't see you. We're going to be talking tonight about a couple of issues, including, of course, the big one, which is the virus, which, Isaac, I'm told by not very reliable sources, so maybe this isn't true, that you were hit hard by this virus and all of your work, all of your data was wiped out beyond any hope of recovery.
I lost absolutely
recovery.
First it was Melissa.
It even attacked your backup tapes, I heard.
Yes. It just jumped right out of the computer and consumed them whole.
It jumped over and broke your TV?
This is far beyond.
All of your books have blank pages now.
Gone. Just completely wiped.
What kind of an animal are we dealing
Melissa,
with?
This is
horrible.
Worse than Chernobyl. They hit me. This one
it's worse
like
than the Big Bang. I mean, it sounds like you really got a lot of destruction going on.
Yeah, I know. It's really awful.
Well, okay. Now, were you a victim of your own ineptness, or did this really come from a computer virus?
Well, you see, somebody sent me an email.
Uh-huh.
I forgot what the exact phrase that was in the subject line.
I think it was something like, I received your mail, and I'm looking into it. Meanwhile, here's something to look at. Unzip this file.
Right. And I, on my...
I believe it even inserts your name into the first line. Is that true?
I have no idea.
I don't know how it would do that if your name wasn't part of the email address.
Either way, I decided to install Windows so that I could run this little binary that I got. I had no idea where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, damn it, I'm going to run that thing and see what it does. And lo and behold, I lost badly. Can you imagine that?
Well, I'll tell you this. Your career in acting is not going to take off anytime soon because there's no way anybody could believe you're that big a moron.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. We'll need to bring someone else in here for that. But yes, folks, if you do want to get the Explorer virus, is that what they're calling it now?
Don't ask me. I have not
the
paid
worm,
one bit of attention to
worm.explore.zip. You got to pay attention to these things.
Wait, it has three dots?
Worm.explore.zip.
Doesn't that do, like, really nasty things in Windows where, like, it doesn't know where the actual suffix to the file is?
I think that's DOS you're talking about.
Okay,
I don't think Windows has that kind of problem.
Okay.
At least not majorly.
I have no idea. I don't use anything.
Well, in any event, if you want to get the worm.explore.zip virus, it takes a bit of doing. It really does. If you're stupid, yeah, that's a good start. And that's why we're hearing that all these people in big corporations are being hit by it. But, you know, we're not hearing very many individual-type people being hit by it. If you've been hit by it, please call us. We won't call you an idiot to your face. We'll probably talk about how silly you are after you hang up. But basically, in order to get this virus, you have to blindly trust anybody sending you attachments. And they could just... It's very simple, you know. You can attach something to a file that says DEL star dot star, right? And what, pipe to a Y command, so it basically allows you to verify that without having human intervention. And then all of your files will be wiped out. Something as simple as that. Although this virus, if you want to call it that, goes a little further. It's a little bit more complex. But, you know, I just can't believe people are getting affected by this. We should have learned something. First of all, Melissa should have taught us this much. All these people being hit by this ignore the Melissa warning because Melissa taught us not to do that, not to blindly open files and execute them sent to us by God knows who. And, you know, people are still not going to listen to this. There'll be a third one. I mean, it can't get much worse than this. Obviously, deleting all files is a pretty nasty thing to do. But in some ways, you know, you deserve what you get. If you run something that openly... that open to anything bad coming in from the outside. It's like running your PC out in the street and then being surprised when a car runs over it. Huh, never heard that analogy before.
No.
Yeah, that's my new street analogy. I don't know. 212-209-2900 is our phone number.
I'm still rolling that one around.
Yeah, roll that one around and process it good because I mean it. Here's a story from Newsday. Actually, from the Associated Press, which blindly prints anything Associated... Newsday prints blindly anything Associated Press says, computer support lines were inundated yesterday with calls reporting new outbreaks of a software virus. that spreads not only by email, but through shared files on a network.
Ooh.
That's right, shared files on a network. Dashing hopes that worm.explorer.zip might be contained more quickly than the recent Melissa outbreak, a leading antivirus team warned that the new file-destroying bug may be more virulent than first thought. Last week, the primary means of infection seemed to be through a friendly email that tricks the recipient into opening an attached file, uncaging worm.explorer.zip. But in addition to ruining files stored on a computer, the virus apparently worms its way into other computers linked to the same network server. Further analysis has shown that once installed, the program may also behave as a worm, and it may be able to propagate itself without any human interaction to other networked machines. The Computer Emergency Response Team at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh said in a statement it placed on its website yesterday, although nervous calls to computer support lines dropped off sharply during the weekend, a support technician for the software maker Network Associates said yesterday that call volume was even heavier than on Thursday and Friday, with 30 to 40 callers waiting at any one time. The FBI was trying to track down the author of the virus. Yeah, good luck, guys. Mm-hmm. Good luck. You'll find all kinds of people who claim authorship of this, but I don't think you're going to find anybody who actually did it. For one thing, it's so easy to do. Anybody could do it. The agency declined to provide any updates on the probe during the weekend. It seems all their files were mysteriously lost. It took only days earlier this spring for authorities to trace the digital footprints of Melissa and the Chernobyl virus that struck in late April. The new virus, first detected in Israel about a week ago, began spreading rapidly on Thursday and Friday, infecting computer systems at several big corporations, including AT&T, Boeing, General Electric, and Microsoft.
Imagine that. Stupid people in Redmond. Golly,
oh, boy.
There's a first.
Worm.explorer.zip targets computers using Microsoft Windows operating system, and also Microsoft and Windows NT it'll work on just fine. Doesn't work on a Mac. Oh, well.
nor my SGI. It just didn't fly. You know, I like I said, I had to install Windows so I could have it, you know, destroy my life.
There you go. The virus arrives in the person's email box as a timely reply from an acquaintance inviting the recipient to open an attached file that will unleash a two-pronged attack. It spreads by sending a copy of itself to the address of any arriving email and destroys files stored on a person's machine, including those created by the popular programs Microsoft Word and Excel.
Yes.
If you get your mail on a Unix system, there's no way this can happen to you. You have to save it, transfer it, then open the attachment. Right. You have to go to a bit of work if you're reading your mail.
You have to be
system.
Really stupid.
Yeah.
I really don't get this. I mean, I haven't been following it simply because, one, I don't use the operating system. Two, I'm not stupid. And three, the viruses of today simply don't have the same elegance as Morris's worm. You know, that was
an adventure.
But you see, it didn't involve somebody being really stupid. Mm-hmm. It was simply some administrator being, you know, neglecting to close certain things. This propagates simply because you have some moron out there who goes, "Ooh, looky, click, click." You know,
why it didn't happen sooner?
I have no idea.
This could have happened years ago. I don't know why it didn't. Let's call the good folks over at McAfee.
McAfee.
Yeah. First. And I have a live dial tone here on the air. It's a live dial tone.
So when you hang up, you're committing murder?
No, I'm just saying that this is not pre-taped. This is something that's happening live right now.
Okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to call 800 information to demonstrate something to you. I'm so confident this is going to work that I'm going to do this to demonstrate it live on the air.
Dialing?
Yeah, listen.
Free directory,
want
listing, please?
Oh, I'm sorry, I dialed the wrong number. All right, it didn't work that time. It's going to happen again. I'm so confident that I'm going to make a fool of myself a second time just to demonstrate this to you.
I'm touched, really.
Yeah, listen.
Free directory, want listing,
I'm sorry, I missed out again. Okay, this is the last time I'm going to try it, I promise.
All right.
I don't mean to harass operators, I really don't. I don't like doing that. I'm beginning to think that this is something intentional on their part. If it doesn't work this time, I'll explain it. All right, I don't think it's going to work, so I'm just going to get the number.
Free directory, want listing, please.
Yes, hi, I need the number for McAfee Associates in Santa Barbara or Santa Clara, somewhere in California.
One moment, please.
MCAFEE. Thank you.
The toll-free number is 888-346-0165. Repeat.
Okay, we got that number. You got it written down there?
Yeah, hang on a second.
All right.
6-5. Well, I'm just typing into my cell phone, and I'm not going to hit talk.
Now, this is what happens when you are panicking and you want to call somebody to get guidance. Is it 346?
0165.
Whoops. I dialed a 2 instead. Hold on, let's try that again. 346.
Mm-hmm.
0165?
That's it.
Okay.
As far as I recall.
Let's see what happens.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again. 1203.
Odd, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, you heard them. They gave us that number, and for some reason that number doesn't work at all. So all these people are tearing their hair out now trying to get a hold of these guys who might have the answer, might be able to help them somehow, and they can't get through. But let me try this 800 information thing one more time.
Okay.
If it doesn't work now, I'll just explain it to everybody what's going on. Okay, if it rings, it's not going to work. Basically, this happened to me. You saw me dialing before the show. I'd say it happened 4 out of 5 times in a row, and it happened to me last night, where basically you just get a recording saying, "We're sorry, we cannot take your call right now. 800 information. We're too busy. We can't take your call. Go away. Do something else. We can't help you."
Well, all those people are confused about calling McAfee and saying, "Hey, wait a second.
No,
it's
not.
The number you give me was this."
It's got nothing to do with McAfee. You know what it has to do with? It has to do with downsizing. It has to do with about 3 people working at AT&T right now. All computers, no humans to answer the phone, and they don't have enough people. It's very easy to overwhelm them. I'll bet if you just get 10 of your friends to dial 1-800-555-1212, toll-free number, no charge to you, to dial it all at the same time from the same basic area, you'll probably overload them and they won't have enough people to answer the phones. Back in the old days, you used to be able to have thousands of people call in. You always got a human being. They were helpful. They gave you more information than you needed sometimes. And they answered any questions you might have. And the same thing went for local information, information all throughout the country, international information. Those days are gone. Now you got to pay for everything. And there just aren't enough people working to help you.
Yeah, I'm still laughing about that. They couldn't tell us what the area code was for California. What was it? Los Angeles?
Anywhere.
That was rather amusing. I like
you have
that.
To pay to find out what the new area codes are. It's totally insane. Totally insane.
What's the NPA for Los Angeles? That'll be 95. What was it? 95 cents or something?
Something like that. But you know, I'm going to show you a way around that. I'm going to show you a way around that right now.
Way around that.
It just gets me mad to have them do that. So I'm gonna basically get information out of an operator they're not supposed to give me. Watch this.
Ooh.
AT&T. To place a call, please dial the number.
Operator.
Please hold for operator assistance.
Yes, voice activation.
AT&T, how may I help you?
Yes, operator, I was interested in placing a call to London, England. I was wondering if you could tell me what the rate is from this line now over there.
Are you on any special calling plan or anything?
No, I'm not. I'm just dialing.
Okay. Okay. After 6 o'clock, it's 94 cents a minute.
Is that 6 o'clock our time or 6
our
o'clock?
Time. Their always time. Our time. Always goes by where you're sitting at now.
I see.
Before 6, it would have been $1.29 a minute.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
What's the time difference between here and there?
It's either 5 or 6 hours. Let me go back up here and look here.
Okay.
Change pages here. Let's see. Right now, hang on. I'm coming up here for me. 5 hours ahead.
It's 5 hours ahead. So right. It would be, what time would it be over there now?
What was it, 8 where you are?
I believe so.
Yeah, midnight.
Just, it'd be after midnight, though, wouldn't
after
it?
After midnight,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
It's about 8:20 here, then. Thank you very much.
All right.
Yes, you have to work out a little bit, but I found out what time it is here.
Wow.
Yeah, well, isn't that cool?
Well,
I mean,
I
got the
charge
time.
You for it.
No,
too.
They didn't charge me for anything. I found out what time it is in England. I found out what time it is here. Well, they didn't seem to know if it was 8 o'clock or 8:20, but never mind that.
That's remarkably underwhelming.
You're not impressed by that? You're not impressed by that? Okay, fine. All right, no.
Can we move on?
No, we're not going to move on because I'm going to prove to you how you know, what you say is overwhelming.
Oh, okay.
Not underwhelming. Takes forever to get an operator, too. That's the other thing.
AT&T. To
to place
operator.
A call, please stop. Please hold for operator assistance.
You enjoy that way too
I
much.
Do.
AT&T, how may I help you?
Yes, operator, I was wondering if I could find out what time it is.
Mm-hmm. 8:20 p.m.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is the night when things just don't work. All right, look, explain to me why I've got to pay a dollar to find out what area code it is, but an operator will tell me what time it is for free. I don't think she was supposed to do that.
What, tell you what time it is?
I don't think so.
Well, if you want to know what time it is, you just call the U.S. Naval Observatory.
Yeah, but you got to pay for that.
Well, long distance.
Yeah, but the thing is...
202-762-1401.
There are several ways you can get the time for free. One is, well, if you have a TV set, turn it on. If you have cable, several stations that have the time there, like the Weather Channel. But... the best way, if you are a phone company customer and you subscribe to some of their services, simply use your caller ID box and call yourself, and the time shows up for free. Or have somebody call you and do *69. They'll tell you what time they called too. But you got to pay 75 cents for that or subscribe to it on a monthly basis.
If you tend to have enough money to have a phone mm-hmm. for a month, I would tend to believe you are capable of perhaps...
it's
spending $1 to get one of those
not,
Casio
it's not the cost.
Watches.
It's not the cost. It's the point of the thing.
Well,
it's the point
of
the
thing. I can understand that.
All right.
But there are... well, never mind.
And moving right along here. Again, we're taking phone calls 212-209-2900
yes,
for anybody affected by the virus here. Here's a new copy of 2600. Just came out.
Oh, it's already out?
Well, it's on the verge of being sent out now, so that's one of two copies that you have in your hand right now. So
really?
Yeah.
You know, this is the first time this has happened.
Is it?
Where I get a copy before everybody else does?
Give back.
Oh, great.
Now, that picture there is illegal. You can't tell people what the picture is. They have to find it themselves. But
you can't take that picture.
Yeah, that picture that is on the front cover is illegal. You are not allowed to take that picture.
You can't take that picture.
Yeah, you're not allowed to. So be careful when you check out this issue. You might want to keep the cover hidden. Yeah.
Most of the time people ask me about what's in the issue, and I can't tell them because I don't have one. It's like, hey, did you read that article on XXY? And I go, no. Well, why not? Because I don't have one.
You can write to us, OTH at 2600.com, or send us mail here at the radio station off the hook, care of WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Yeah. And here's some listener mail that we have. Hello. I just wanted to let you in on a little tidbit you might find entertaining. I got in the mail today a check for $3.50 from an ISP called cyberspace.com. What you have to read with a magnifying glass, however, is that this free gift is actually a contract authorizing them to subscribe me to their internet service and have it billed to me through my telephone company.
That sounds like that AT&T gift of $100.
Which I cashed. I went and I cashed. I had to go through some sort of interrogation. I mean, unbelievable. I was on the phone 20 minutes with them to get my $100. I had to record a conversation saying I was authorizing them to switch me over. But the thing that nobody ever said any place was that I have to keep them longer than a month. So I can switch back to another company and just wait for another check to come in. And the funny thing is, they're sending me $100. I don't think I've paid $100 for long distance on that line ever in a year. I don't think I ever have. So I'm doing quite well with AT&T there. I'm finally getting even for all these little charges that they get you for. Unbelievable. Anyway, this cyberspace.com, that sounds like a real scam too, because they send you a check for $350 and then you have to sign up for them for their internet service. And from what I understand, that costs $29.95 a month, which is rather high for internet service. So be careful if you get checks in the mail. Every time you get a check in the mail, it's unsolicited. It's usually something evil.
You may have already won $35 million.
That's true too.
Or what is it, 10?
Speaking of something evil, George W. Bush.
Back up there, sir.
Yes.
Well,
I'm backed up.
Just remove the evil for George W. Bush.
Why, is it illegal?
Well, no, but...
George W. Bush, what, do you like this guy?
I like that guy.
Who is he anyway? Have you ever even heard him? Have you ever even heard this guy speak?
Yes.
You've heard it? Where have you heard him speak?
On the radio.
Where?
WABC.
Okay, the Nazi station, fine. He speaks on that. But... other than that, where have you ever heard him speak?
C-SPAN.
Look, people don't watch C-SPAN. I'm talking about
C-SPAN.
Normal, everyday, average American people.
Oh, okay.
Where would they have ever heard this guy speak? That's what I'm asking. I'm not counting this week either, because this is the week he's crawling out from under his rock and actually saying something, because he's going for his election campaign starting now. But where have you ever heard him say anything beforehand? And what has he said? Those two things. You can't answer me, can you?
Me as myself, or me as myself, the non-normal, non-American
person?
Well,
take the non-normal part out of it, and let's forget about, you know, the crazy radio station, let's forget about C-SPAN, because those are places where everybody shows up eventually. But I'm talking about just average people, where, you know, reading newspapers, right?
Okay.
I have been looking. I've been looking for the last year or so. Because I want to know where this guy stands.
I can't find
where he stands on anything because he waffles more than Clinton does. And that's quite a statement.
I also think it's a false statement.
All right, well...
Regardless, let's not discuss the political candidacies of the year 2000.
Well, my point is, just to make it very clear and simple, is that I've never heard this guy speak, before yesterday, actually. I can't say I never heard him speak because, actually, he did open his mouth yesterday and say something on TV, and I finally heard him say something. But before that, I didn't even know what his voice sounded like. Now, okay, who cares? Well, this guy is the number one front runner for president of the United States. How does he get to be the number one front runner when people have never heard him say anything? Doesn't that scare you?
They're so displeased with the other candidates that they're willing to go to just about anyone.
Well, that should tell you something right there. I mean, you just vote for anybody based on the name and not on what they say or what they stand for?
It's rather amusing, but the Nazi station, one of their hosts actually does an on-the-street interview and simply asks people who is the vice president of the United States. And most of the time, they're sitting there like, and, you know, one very, you know, well-intuned individual said Dan Quayle.
Okay, now wait a minute. That disproves what you just said, though. That they're dissatisfied, because if they're dissatisfied, then they don't know who they're voting against.
I'm sorry. The same man on the street interview also says, how well do you think Bill Clinton is doing? And they all say, really good. He's a great president. At which point he asks, other than the economy, name one good thing Bill Clinton has done. And they're all still sitting there.
Name one thing that George W. Bush has done.
For the state of Texas? Or
okay, yeah, I'll take that. I will. Even though I've never heard him say a word, I would like to know what he's done for the state of Texas.
Honestly, I don't know. But going back to my original point, you're calling this man evil, and yet you haven't
He's
really
evil
heard
because
him
he
speak.
Scares me. You know, his father doesn't scare me. His father did scare me back in '88. Okay, I was really scared when he got elected president. I was afraid there'd be all kinds of retributions for the things I was saying. But that worked out okay. He was like a nice grandfatherly type person. Here comes this other guy, who, by the way, looks just about as old as his father. I don't know how that happened. But he's never said a word. You've never heard his voice. You don't know where he stands on anything. And he's the front runner. That just bothers me a lot.
Well, George Sr. did just recently...
jump out of a plane, yeah. Well, I could give that advice to other people as well, but we don't want to get nasty here. Anyway,
going back
to get to the point why I brought his name up. He has no sense of humor either because...
Oh, okay. Now I see where this
is going. Yeah, you know about the websites.
I heard about this.
Basically, some clever people came up with some websites here basically kind of make fun of him a little bit.
Well, his campaign managers decided to grab these before anybody else could, which I feel is a futile maneuver simply because you can't possibly register them all.
Uh-huh. Well, that's not what I was talking about, actually.
Oh, really?
I was talking about this. In America, we have a grand old tradition of lampooning, otherwise making fun of leaders and would-be leaders. The gwbush.com site is one website that is keeping up this great American tradition by lampooning Texan who will be running for the White House in our next election. But George Bush Jr., that's another way of saying it, I guess, really wouldn't like you to see this website. According to Democracy Now!, which is on this very radio station.
Across the hall, too.
Across the hall, right down the hall. Hey, guys. Bush has filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission against gwbush.com. You can go over there and check it out for yourself. It looks just like the George Bush election site. Governor Bush changed his mind on trying minors as adults. After self-reflection and consultations with the Religious Council, Governor Bush decided to raise the age at which juveniles can be tried as adults to 40. there ought to be limits to freedom, Governor George W. Bush said. He really did say this in Austin, Texas on May 26th. Read press coverage of Governor Bush's amazing televised press conference on the problem of freedom. Bush is the only candidate with the courage to take on excessive freedom on the Internet, as well as its garbage men. He's not very happy with gwbush.com, not belonging to him.
Well, honestly, this is parody, and it's 100% open, and I encourage it. And I frown upon the our forerunning candidate. For trying to
well,
take
now,
this down.
Okay, I'm glad you're frowning, but it gets better because there is a legitimate site,
okay.
georgewbush.com, www.georgewbush.com.
That makes sense.
And that one he does have. I'm not sure which one you'll find funnier, but it's G.W. Bush and George W. Bush. But if you type in on your browser, and you may do this right now, entering bushblows.com, bushsucks.com, George Bush blows, George W. Bush blows, George Bush sucks, George W. Bush sucks.com, .net, .org, any of those, they will take you to georgewbush.com, a legitimate site.
Right.
He actually, or his campaign, actually got all of those sites because they didn't want somebody else to get them.
Exactly.
And pointed them. Isn't that kind of self-defeating to have something that says something bad about you pointing to you? You'd think that, that would be the one he'd want to be a parody because it's saying that he sucks. Instead, if you type George Bush sucks, you go to the George Bush site, which probably will prove it to you.
I would imagine that the name changes to georgewbush.com in your little title bar there.
Well, maybe it does. But the point is, the person who typed it in is going to remember, hey, I typed George Bush sucks, and here's the evidence.
Oh, I'm so disappointed because I wanted to see some really mean things being said about George
Bush. Why would you want that person to come to your site anyway, since obviously they don't like you, right?
Because it's still exposing this individual to what you think.
Type 2600sucks.com and see if you get to the 2600.com site. You'll probably get to a site that says we suck, okay? And that's fine because that's what it's about, you know?
But you just could have easily registered 2600sucks.com and done your own parody.
But don't you see the hypocrisy here? If you type gwbush.com and you don't go to that particular site, you go to another site, it's the same logic. It's the same logic. You're going someplace else that the person intended for you to go that doesn't represent what it was you typed. When you type G.W. Bush, you're not typing, I want to see a parody G.W. Bush. You're typing, I want to see G.W. Bush, but you get a parody. You type George Bush sucks, you don't want to see George W. Bush, but you wind up seeing that. You see, it's flawed logic. But it gets even better.
But wait, there's more.
There is more. Because these clowns, in their haste to register all these sites, forgot to register a couple of sites.
Like I said, it was futile. You can't possibly get them all.
Bushforpresident.net? It's a pretty big one, don't you think? And Bushforpresident2000.net?
You can't possibly get all.
Guess who has those two sites?
Who has those two?
I do.
Oh, really? added to your collection of Giuliani ones.
Well, I've got Giuliani sites, I got Bush sites, I got Clinton sites, I got Gore sites, I've got Dole sites. I got sites, man. I got sites. And there's going to be some fun things on those ones, so just stay tuned. If you have any suggestions as to what should go on our Bush sites, please email us, oth2600.com, because it's going to be a fun campaign. And Giuliani for Senate2000.net, I think, or Giuliani for Senate.net? One of those. Type that in, you'll get our existing lampoon, which they're not too happy about either. But politics is like that, you know? Okay. We have a couple other stories, but I think we should go to the phones. 212-209-2900. Before we do that...
Oh, you're going to try again?
No, I'm not going to try that again. I'm going to try something else. We have a brand new service here that we just installed.
Who is we?
Us.
Us as in this show, or...?
Don't be difficult, Isaac. Here we go.
I'm trying to build it up.
Yes, you've reached Off the Hook on the phone. We're not here right now. In fact, we're never at this number, but you can leave a message and maybe we'll play it on the air. Just leave a message at the sound of the tone.
Oh, my God. We really have to get an engineer in here to fix these things. So that's our voicemail.
We have voicemail.
We have voicemail now, and you can speak to us. Well, you can leave a message for us, and maybe if you can't get through on the air, we can play your message over the air on a delay type of basis.
That's kind of spiffy.
Isn't it? Actually, I'm going to hang up now because we're leaving a message.
Okay.
And let's see if we can actually get that message on the air. I don't want to give away too many details.
With the feedback, mind.
No, we'll turn down the feedback.
It's going to be in the message.
You're right, it will be in the message. But it won't be as loud, I don't think.
No, it won't be.
Obviously, I'm going to have to turn down the microphone when I'm entering our password.
I like that.
It's good. It took us several hours.
And then it gets the busy. That's kind of spiffy.
Several hours of studio time was devoted to that. Let's see if we actually get through here.
Please enter your mailbox number.
Oh, great. This is one of these systems where it doesn't quite work the first time. Hang on.
Please enter your security code.
Okay, we got that. I forgot. Here we go.
You have one new message. To listen to your messages, press L. To record and send a message, press RS. For the complete main menu of features, press 0. Ready.
Well, we don't have an L key.
Press L?
I'll press the L key. Hang on.
To listen to your messages, press L.
I just pressed L. I'm pressing L now. There.
Oh, my God. We really have to get an engineer in here to fix these things. Yes, so that's our voicemail. We have voicemail. We have voicemail now, and you can speak to us. Well, you can leave a message for us, and maybe if you can't get through on the air, we can play your message over the air on a delay at the basis. That's kind of trippy, isn't it? Actually, I'm going to hang up now because we're leaving a message. Okay.
The message has been saved. To erase the message, press E.
That's erased.
To listen to the next message, press L. To exit the listen mode, press the pound key.
Okay.
For a complete list of listening options, press 0.
You got to hear that sometime.
What, you got the entire alphabet going on?
I'm
going
to press the E key. Hold on. E.
The message will be erased when you exit your mailbox. Ready.
Okay. How do we exit? I think we hit 9.
That's
one message
the
will be erased
X
when you exit your mailbox.
X.
To exit your mailbox, press X again.
There you
to
go.
Return to the automated attendant, press the star key.
Here we go.
To
goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. All right, that's the end of her. So, yes, we have voicemail now. Oh, we forgot to give out the phone number. 212, well, you could have gotten it if you listened to the tones. 209-2967 is our voicemail. So if you can't reach us or you have a late-breaking story to give to us any time of the day or night, call that number and leave a message.
We should have left that as a challenge to the listeners, like decode the DTMF and find the number.
Yeah, but then only the people that can do that will call in. We want everybody to call in.
Well, for a week, that'd be kind of cool. But.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have this means of communication.
Sure.
So we have that. We have our mailbox. Oh, you know, we also have important news, which we didn't mention, which we should have mentioned. I'm sure a lot of people are tearing their hair out now saying, why aren't you guys talking about the Mitnick hearing, which took place yesterday? Well, the reason is it didn't take place yesterday. It was postponed a month. The shocking thing about this, everybody was expecting this not to happen, but the judge granted Kevin's defense team this delay so that they could reply to the basically crazy allegations that Kevin caused millions of dollars of damage simply by looking at some source code. So this will give them some extra time to look things over and to figure out how to counter them rather than just have to be accused of it the day he was being sentenced, which was what was going to happen yesterday. So this is good, but it also gives us more of an opportunity to do some more activism type things, some more education type things, and we're open to suggestion. If you have suggestions as to what we can use this extra month to do, some people are saying, "Hey, let's have more demonstrations." Some people are saying, "Let's do some things on the internet. Let's write letters." This is time that we have now to get this done. The hearing was rescheduled to Monday, July 12th, so we have practically a month. All right, take some phone calls. 212-209-2900. Pick a number from 1 to 10.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, we'll go with X.
Well, X would be 9, because that's
okay,
what it
so
comes out to. Did you know that 9 wasn't lit when you said that?
No.
Of all the numbers, 9 is the only one lit.
I'm sorry. Right, I was simply going with the whole voicemail.
It
thing.
Just started ringing now,
ooh.
Which means that there's no way it could be. It just stopped again. I'm gonna pick it up now. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening. You know who this is.
You know, I do.
And I would like you to dial information and ask for the phone number of WBAI. You will then know that, as Bell Atlantic says, as you just said, 209. However, Bernard White, who says, pay close attention and acts like he's a very sensible guy, and some of his group, always love to say 209 or whatever.
We're actually going to argue whether we should be saying 209 and 209. Listen, we're a controversial radio station. All right, we talk about a lot of things. We talk about politics and revolution, international affairs. We're not ready for this debate, 0 or 0. I'm sorry, I just can't do it. I can't bring myself to do that. Race relations, yes, 0 or 0. Come on, we're just going to, it'll never end. We'll have so many people getting upset.
Well, you got to be careful because O is actually number...
Don't start. Don't start. Good evening. You're on the air.
Manuel.
How you doing?
It's Tommy Pickles.
How are you?
And waving to Porkchop also.
How you doing?
Okay. I got news from the news lady we both know.
Okay.
All right.
You know, everybody else listening has no idea what you're talking about.
I know. Well,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Because I'm telling you about the show. He says he apologizes for not being there at the protest, and that he couldn't do the taping about the hearing because they're in post-production right now. So she apologizes for, you know, not being able to include that on the show that she's doing right now.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, you know, I said, well, that's too bad. You know, hopefully she includes us all in the credits, of course.
Well, we'll just have to see. But, you know, when you're dealing with mass media, you should never really expect it to turn out the way that you expect it to turn out.
Yeah, I know.
Because
well, it's
it never
shame
does.
Because I really like the, you know, conclusion to
uh-huh.
everything before they released the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe the show is going to actually hype it up.
Well, have you seen anything from the show yourself?
No, I've seen the interviews.
Uh-huh.
I've seen you know, a clip of Pork Chop.
But you haven't seen the slant they're going to take.
No, and I've seen the FBI conversations that they're having. And
oh, really?
I tell you, yeah, it's so funny how they take the opposition so strongly.
You know, what's funnier to me right now is that Isaac looks so perplexed. He has no idea what any of us are talking about. And I imagine that face reflects the face of our audience, too, probably have no idea what we're talking about as well. Are we under some sort of obligation not to say what we're talking about?
Well, she said to me one time when I first mentioned it on the show that I shouldn't be mentioning it.
Uh-huh, but she didn't say that to me, did she?
I don't think she said that to you, and, you know, maybe because she just didn't think about it at that time. But right now, like she told me, it's in post-production. They're already done with it. I'm like, oh,
uh-huh.
How could you do this? You know, we'd really like some more on it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, leaving the cliffhanger is kind of like leaving it open like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Maybe people are going to get more hyped about it
uh-huh.
and actually do something, you know, like the old saying, you know, get off your ass and just do it.
Yeah.
You know? So hopefully we get a lot more followers, like the X generation who actually watches the channel.
Yeah.
Oh, these are clues.
Yeah, well, I think maybe that would be a good idea. After all, your viewership has gone a lot down since you canceled Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, but Tom Green is out there.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty funny guy. Maybe we'll actually do an interview with him.
Maybe you will. So we're going to move on. Thanks for the information.
Yeah, not a problem. We'll see you guys soon.
All right, take care.
Those people who know what's going on, please inform Isaac by calling the voicemail.
If you don't know what's going on by now, I pity you.
I don't know what... Come on.
You don't know what network Beavis and Butthead were on?
MTV.
All right, then. Then you know what's going on. At least I didn't say it on the air. Good evening. You're on the air.
Needs the fear free.
How you doing?
The IRC guy.
Yes, the IRC person. How are you?
Pretty good. It is working.
The IRC network is working. Okay, well, actually, it's not officially up yet, but it will be up in the next, I guess, week or so.
What IRC network?
Actually, you were on it the other day, so you should know what we're talking about.
I guess what I'm saying on the air is legal right now.
IRC.2600.net is the new IRC network.
.net.
Yes.
Why doesn't anybody tell me anything?
You were on it.
Well,
you didn't tell me about it
until that day.
Well, all right, but you know about it now.
Yes.
So, all right. So, basically, this is a way for 2,600 people to communicate without fear of...
And what's cool about it is that it is linked to ESNet, so everybody does not have to move their box if they don't want to.
Yeah, we do have ways of linking, but for the most part... it will be a way for people to communicate without being taken over, losing channels, and also we're going to have all kinds of other 2,600 channels. If you say are in Guam and you want to meet other 2,600 people, there is a channel you can go to do just that.
Yes, and if I'm not mistaken, just for people online right now, you type /MSG / Mr. Bot / channels to get the list of all those, you know, regional channels.
And there's a lot of them.
There are so many. There's like, I think there's something like 150 of them.
That's a lot, because there's one for every state and territory, and there's one for every country. Now,
there are a lot of them.
These aren't necessarily channels that will exist, but they're channels that if you are in that area, go to that channel, and if someone else is in that area, they should go to that channel, and then you'll meet those people. Because people are always sending us mail saying, can you tell us who else is a 2600 reader in my area? And, of course, we can't do that. So this is one way. If you both have internet access, if you go to a channel that's common to your area, then you'll meet people that way.
Yes, and if I'm not mistaken, the information on all of this will be in the Summer 2600.
That's
correct,
yes.
Well,
summer, I just
now.
Hurled at Isaac, has that information. In fact, if you look, Isaac, you'll find an ad in there. I don't know what page it's on. But
and just as I was saying this, the amount of people in IRC.2600.net doubled.
How about that? So now we have two people in there.
Now we have like 20.
Okay.
That's like doubling my salary.
That's
wow,
great.
Gee, Isaac, you know, you're doing so great.
Hope it works well, because I don't know if you remember, but I originally called back in April.
You're the person who suggested this.
Yes.
And see, it's only a couple months later, it's reality.
Yep.
See how things work? It's amazing. So you want to suggest something else now?
No.
Okay, well, if you have any suggestions, please give us a call. But thanks a lot for all the work, and
all right.
I think it'll work out really nicely.
Thanks a lot, Emmanuel.
Take care. 212-209-2900.
Let's go to another caller that knows something I don't.
Okay. Well, gee, there's so many here. let me go to this one. Okay. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel.
I was
going to
say, this is the clueless line, but I didn't. I should have. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. I'd just like to mention the following 800 number.
You got to tell us why you're mentioning it at any time during this call?
Because of the fact that it's one of those psychic numbers where they have this thing where it's a scam, not a scam, but it's like a trick.
If it was a real psychic number, they would block you.
No, all right, okay, but that's what I'm going to get into. When you call this 800 number, they give you a message, and then they called me. I did this from home. Then they called me at home, like, the next day. They left a message because I wasn't home. They said something like, to get your free psychic reading, do such and such. I called this number from a payphone. They happen to know that you're on a payphone. In other words, when you call this number from a payphone,
right.
They say, this number cannot be called from a payphone.
There's nothing new about this. It's been going on for years.
Yeah, but how do they know whether you're calling from a payphone?
There's a database that tells you all the payphone numbers, for one thing, that some of these companies have.
Payphone numbers in the country?
Well, I know that I've tried this before from other payphones downtown. I remember calling a psychic hotline several years ago and them saying that I couldn't bill it to this number. Do you remember when 800 numbers started billing you, when you were actually able to call an 800 number and it showed up on your phone bill? This is how they get around the payphones, because they know you're calling from a payphone. Whether it's through a database or actually, you know what? It might be something that the SS7 sends along that basically flags the call as coming from a payphone, just like a prison call or a collect call, something like that. When you make a particular type of call, it sends a flag along, says that this is a payphone, do not accept or try to bill to this number.
Cellular phones. When it gets called from a cellular phone, it gives you a Ryota tone.
That makes sense, too. A lot of times they don't want to build these things to a cellular phone.
Or if you're calling from through the operator.
Mm-hmm. And give us the number, right? Because we all have lives to get back to.
It's 1-800 273.
Wait a minute. That's 273, not 327.
Right.
Okay.
Right. 4988.
All right.
And I'd also like to mention the fact that 800 numbers, they ask you still, you call from 800 numbers, they say, if you're calling from a push-button phone, press 1. Like, what country do you think I'm in? China?
I don't know. Would that it were true, though.
The planet would be, well, for the moment.
I'd like to mention that...
How is he still there? I hung up. Go away. Go, go. He's not going away. Look at this. I can't get rid of him. He overrode the phone system. I could not press that button. You know what the panic that just spread through my head? This is like a nightmare. All right. I'm going to go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay. Very happy to hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
I hear
I'm
just fine.
I'm at Yankee Stadium, actually.
You're at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, I am.
Well, gee whiz.
They're winning, so I'm happy.
Are they playing a game, or did you break in?
No, I broke in. No, they're playing. I had a question for you.
Go ahead.
Because...
Must be a dull game if you're calling me during a Yankee game, but go ahead.
In about 5 years, the surcharges on our phone bills are probably going to exceed the actual toll charges.
Actually, on some of my lines, they already have exceeded the toll charges, yes.
It's ridiculous. You know, I just looked at it because I just kind of pay my bill, and I'm a good citizen.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at it, and it's like every single federal and state and local agency has a surcharge.
That's
it's
right.
Getting kind of ridiculous, if you ask me.
I'm wondering if there's a way that customers can get a surcharge on there so that we can sort of get some of the money back.
And the thing is, they nickel and dime you to death to the point where that's the indicator, if you don't mind that. The SEC was bad enough, but now it's like $6 or something. For an ISDN line is like $11. I mean, it's really ridiculous. You're paying $11 in surcharge, and that's only one surcharge. When you're already paying like $50 for an ISDN line, it's really ridiculous.
Oh, of course. But you know, the people who suffer the most are the people with the low phone bills. The people who pay virtually, you know, close to nothing as they want to pay. Now, the big companies that have $1,000 phone bills. You know, an extra $1.50 or something isn't going to mean that much. But when you have, say, a $15 phone bill and another $15 in taxes and surcharges, it's significant.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think, and I'll leave it with this, because I think what they really should do, and of course, who knows what's going to come of this, they should really charge the businesses more because they can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, poor Schmo has a lifeline line, which I guess I don't have the surge, I don't have as many surcharges. But still, I mean, it's ridiculous how the average person who has a regular, you know, $25 to $50 phone bill. I mean, a good $20 is taxed on.
Right.
And I don't know. I just had to vent. Thanks for letting me.
Okay. Play. Thanks, and good luck to the Yankees up there.
I would debate if you shuffle it off to the business lines, but we only have 10 minutes.
Well, I think big business should pay a lot more than small business.
Okay. Prices.
Because small business is basically the same thing as human beings.
The flaw in that is, what's the threshold for becoming a big business?
Well, I'm not sure. But right now, the way it works is big business doesn't pay as much in taxes as little business. There's all kinds of discrepancies where they get all kinds of write-offs, and states pay them money to remain in there because they supposedly provide jobs and things like that.
So this... these line charges are going to be like the, you know, under the little guy, you know,
let's ask ourselves why a lot of these things are necessary. We're running out of phone numbers. Why are we running out of phone numbers? Do we have twice as many people in our country? No, we have all these companies getting blocks of 10,000 numbers for their PBXs. And that's why the phone numbers are being taken up. Now, someone's got to pay for all the changes that take place with area codes and exchanges and things like that.
Which they do. They have installation fees.
Well, no, but I'm saying a lot of those charges are being shouldered by people, too, because they have to change their phone numbers, for instance. They've got to change everything that they do, and it's a result of not them, but big businesses with huge amounts of phones and phone numbers and tying up all the exchanges. That's one thing.
I'd actually like to hear from somebody who lost their home telephone number because some large business decided to get a PBX.
Well, I'm going to be losing my phone number because of that.
Well, no, you're getting a new area code.
I'm getting a new area code. That's my phone number. That's a 3 digits of my phone number. I'm losing.
Well,
that's my identity.
Anybody who's also in Suffolk County can call you, but, you know...
Listen. 516, that says who I am. That is who I've been all my life, okay? And now you expect me to suddenly change my name to 631. I'm sorry, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. I will never be a 631 in my heart. I will always be a 516. You can't take that from me.
So move. I'm sorry,
you know, they tried that. They tried that. They tried displacing people all over the world. Say, oh, yeah, just live over here instead. You know, it doesn't work. I'm all red-faced now.
Yeah,
you know, this is a sore topic for me.
I'm sorry for upsetting you.
It's my area code. Damn it, I'm proud of it.
Okay.
I'm not going to give it up without a fight, although
okay,
there's not much I can do either. All right, let me compose myself, take another phone call. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to know, I'm looking for a version of Linux. I bought the Red Hat 6.0 last week, and I was really unsatisfied because I'm looking for a version that would really run fine on my laptop. Do you have any suggestions?
Abandon Linux, go BSD.
Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? It's just better.
Yeah, but what's better about it? I hear everybody saying that, but I never hear why.
It's cleaner.
What's the version?
It's cleaner?
It's cleaner.
Okay.
There's less useless, like... utilities and knickknacks.
Well,
floating
let
around.
Me ask our caller. What is your main complaint with
video? Video on it would just because when I put on Linux, it had some problem. It would go on to 1024, and my screen is only 800. And after a while, you would see green lines in the background, and it would just have the whole thing. And you can't pop up a menu without it. It's on the whole background of the screen already.
Well, that's X. It's not Linux. So you're going to have that problem just about anywhere you
see?
Go.
See? It wasn't Linux.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's X Configurator. That's the problem. So,
yeah.
I mean, how can I run X Configurator?
Your best bet is to go to a couple of news groups, get on a couple of mailing lists, and ask the people who are more in tune to that.
All right, good luck. Thanks for calling. Let's take another phone call. You might also try the personal computer show tomorrow night because they tend to deal with things like that a little more than we do. They're on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. right here in this very same radio station. To be safe, leave the radio on until then. That way nobody will knock against the radio and turn it off. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, speak up, please.
Yeah, hi. I have two short questions and then a comment about the Explorer worm.
Okay, make it as quick as possible.
Okay, the questions are real quick. I read in one of the newspapers that this thing is capable of also acting on people that are not using Microsoft Outlook but instead using Eudora. Do you know if that's true?
I think it's capable of hitting anybody who's using Windows or NT, not necessarily those programs, because if you just unzip the file, I think that's what makes it spread into action. The action that you have to avoid is executing any program that you do not know what it is that gets sent to you via email.
Yeah, that's a good point, but it leads to my comment. You guys seem very unsympathetic to the idea that many of the people who use computers these days aren't really geeky kind of people. They're not very sophisticated. And it doesn't make them bad, and it doesn't make it okay to victimize them.
Well, no, that's true, but you do have to go into something. For instance, you don't drive a car without realizing the risks. You got to know something about, you know, what this thing is capable of doing and what some of the hazards are in doing this. And I think too many people are jumping into things with an assumption of how it works and with an expectation that everything's going to be okay. And, you know, it's not entirely their fault. In fact, it's mostly not their fault. It's the fault of the people selling them these things and teaching them how they work without mentioning some very important things. For instance, like, you know, you could lose everything on your hard drive tomorrow for no reason at all. They crash all the time. So make sure you keep a backup. And for people that don't know to do that, they lose a lot, and it's nothing worse than that feeling of losing everything you've been working
on. But who's going to tell them that? The large companies that produce the operating systems? Oh, please, take our product, but, you know, it doesn't quite work, and you got to look out for things, and you can't trust us. No large company is going... For Pete's sake, Microsoft doesn't even admit that they have bugs. They don't have patches, they have service packs. Okay?
Well,
You can't expect them to just come out and do that.
The thing is, with other products... the Better Business Bureau, Consumer Affairs, they mandate that you must tell consumers if there are problems. You must have recalls if there are major safety issues. And I think we have the equivalent of this with operating systems. People should be told the truth.
Not necessarily, because you can go open source and have people who know what they're doing, and you can actually inspect the entire thing and see where it breaks and how
to fix
it.
But that's if you know what you're doing. There's a lot of people out there that want to use computers that don't know all these little things. And I don't think it's fair to expect them to have to know every source code, every line of code there. Anyway, we're running out of time. Let's let our listener say what he has to say.
All right. Well, just I agree with you that part of the problem here is Microsoft Windows, Microsoft NT, whatever, because this business about people being able to email you a macro file or whatever, and then all you have to do is click on it and it causes all this trouble, it seems to me that's part of the problem. They shouldn't, they should ship you Windows with that feature turned off or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And, well, anyway, that's my comment. But one more question. If this guy turns out to be from Israel, you have any idea what kind of legal remedy there is?
They're going
to
pat him on the back and say, wow, you're really talented.
We
got to
take Israel off the net. I mean, it's just they're causing too much trouble over there. I don't know. It goes to show you that there is no regulation on the net. There never will be. There never should be. Because there's always a way around whatever stupid regulations you come up with. Someone could be in a foreign country, and you know what? We don't have jurisdiction over there, and that's how it is. That's how it always will be.
Well, how is your Better Business Bureau going to work?
Well, no, that's for selling you things that you run in your home.
Okay, so how about some, like, Egyptian company sells
you a security? The Egyptian Better Business Bureau has to take care of that.
Okay.
It's basically up to them. But, you know, you can't regulate speech. Certainly not speech that's going over international networks, and that's never going to happen.
I seem to think that it's the point of the consumer to know what they're buying and to actually investigate these
right.
things.
Right. And I think consumers do to a degree, but if the truth is hidden from them, if it's not easy to find out that, hey, there are problems here, they're not going to find out. That's what people like us are here for, to let them know. So that's what we're going to do.
That's a really nice, neat little bow for the discussion.
It is.
I like that.
It is. And we're out of time, so we'll have to continue this discussion next week. Until then, stay abreast of the situation. We'll update you on the Mitnick case next week. Again, the hearing postponed, the sentencing postponed for another month, July 12th. Keep checking out our websites, www.2600.com. If you want to email us, oth@2600.com. If you want some real funny laughs, www.gwbush.com. And, of course, GiulianiForSenate.net.
What's the voicemail number?
And 212-209-2967 is our new voicemail number, so you can leave us. I'm sure it's filling up now already with messages, so we'll have to listen to that later. Again, Emmanuel Goldstein for Isaac. Have yourselves a good night.
About Asians? Want to know more? Check it out. Asia Pacific Forum, New York's only Pan-Asian radio program exclusively on WBAI 99.5 FM.